Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
And furthermore, submit yourselves to one another out of your love and reverence for Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My friend Seth Godin says, birthdays are overrated. He said, I've never met anyone who was more than a passive participant in their birth. We don't know how to tell our mama we're ready to come. We don't get to choose when and how and where and all that stuff. Sometimes you go through 21 hours of labor, and sometimes you have birth in the taxi cab. We're passive participants in our birth. But anniversaries, Seth Godin says, anniversaries are something else. Because we have a chance to celebrate where we've been and where we're going. And it's our choice. It's more than romance. It's continued commitment. An anniversary is worth celebrating because of what we're agreeing to do again. Thanks be to God. She said yes 50 years ago. Friday night, she said yes again. Gail and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary this Friday night. Thank you. Y'all are about as enthusiastic as Gail was about that. 50 years is a long time. And we've had to learn how to be married together. We're still learning how to be married together. And along the way, we learned this little word, allelon. A-L-L-E-L-O-N. Allelon. Our friends Otis and D.G. Andrews taught us that word many years ago, and it changed the way we relate to one another. Submit yourself to one another out of reverence for Christ. Be one another to each other. Pray for one another. Lift up one another's burdens. Love one another. That word allelon is woven through all of those texts. If you want a deep dive, go look up a concordance, find a concordance, look up allelon, and look at all the references, and you'll see a bunch. It's also woven through the Old Testament with, of course, Hebrew writing. It's used over 100 times in the New Testament. So it must be important for the emphasis that the gospel writers and the biblical writers have woven it. It means staying committed to one another, even when you feel inconvenienced or even offended. The New Testament uses the word allelon almost as much as it uses that other word we know, agape. It's hard to agape without allelon. I love myself, and I do okay most days with that until 3 o'clock in the morning. Then I got to recalibrate. But it's hard for me to poof love upon myself. But when I agape allelon, not only do I give love, but I get love back. And it's the mutual submission that Paul is writing about. And he's writing to the congregation. He's not writing to men or women. He's writing to a congregation. He goes on to say, wives, submit to your husbands. I like that verse. Then he says, husbands, submit to your wives. Not so much. It's not lost on me, however, that Paul spends twice as much time talking to the men than he does to the women. Speaks for itself. But I go back to verse 21 because that's where it starts. We allelon, agape one another. We love one another. We mutually submit to one another, not out of power, but out of a recognition and a realization that there's something bigger than all of us. That the God of heaven and earth is bigger than any one person, any one thought, any one feeling. And it's hard. It's hard in marriages. It's hard in congregations. Several years ago, one of the churches I was serving, we were going through some changes, and I was leading it, and one of the dear ladies of the church came up to me and said, "You better be careful. We've fired better ministers than you." Again, Angela, I got nothing. And it would be easy for me to fire back. It would have been easy for me to tell her what I thought of her foolish remark. But that wouldn't have done anything for us. And it would have left me feeling very small. I don't want that. I want to be able to show my wife how much I love her by agape allelon-ing her. Being one another with her, submitting mutually to her. Sometimes I know that's a problem. Oh, dear beloved wife of mine, you know that I love you and I'm so indebted to you and committed to you forever. Darling, where might the chariot take us to eat tonight? Wherever you want to go. Sometimes I don't need mutual submission. I need a decision. And sometimes we have to make that choice in congregational life. Sometimes we have to make that choice in the world in which we live in. We should prefer equity over power. We should prefer to give and to receive rather than selfishness. Paul even goes so far as to say, greet one another, greet allelon with a holy kiss. That may be going a little bit too far on Sunday morning fellowship, but that's the word. See, God is one another. You and I are one another. And so we practice being one another to each other. Why? Because of our love for Christ. Because of what Jesus has done for us, now we do for one another. Emma Baines, do you know this lady, Emma Baines? She's popular on Facebook. She says, a good marriage is two people taking turns being the problem. We live that. She goes on to say, most of marriages yelling, what? From one room to the next. We practiced that this morning. Gail's not feeling well, and I was rushing to get ready to get here, and she was hollering from the room, and I was in the other room, and Did you move my keys? That's another one we share together. Reciprocal action. I'm not going to let you run over me. I'm going to stand and protect myself, but I'm not going to overpower you. And in the midst of me being me and you being you, perhaps we can find ground where love is the key to that. Several years ago, I was at a party with my daughter. It was around Christmas time. I can't remember exactly the date. We were there with a bunch of songwriters, and it was just a lot of fun getting to meet some of those folks and play with them. And I was talking to the lady who was hosting us, and I said, "Well, how long have you and Keith been married?" And she said, "Oh, we're not married." I said, "You're not married? Oh, I'm sorry." She said, "I know, we have kids together. We have a house together. We do all the things married people should do, but we're not married." And I'm standing there with my foot in my mouth trying to figure out, how am I getting out of this? And so I said to her, "Well, if you ever need a good preacher, I know of one." And she said, "Really?" And I said, "Absolutely. If y'all want to get married, I'd love to do your marriage. I'd love to do your wedding." She said, "What about in 30 minutes? I went, "Oh, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. When did y'all first meet?" "Halloween night at some saloon down on Broadway." That was what they considered their anniversary. And she wanted an anniversary that had their own meaning about it, not just a Halloween night. And she says, "Yeah, 30 minutes from now, I think we can make that work." I said, "Wait a minute now, wait. You need to get with Keith. Oh, he'll do whatever I say." I said, "Maybe so, but you need to get with Keith." And so they went and huddled, and he comes back and says, "What did you say to my wife?" I said, "Keith, I am so sorry. I told her if y'all ever wanted to get married, I knew of a good preacher, and that was all I said." And then it just snowballed from here. "And Keith, I am so sorry. I'm going to go get in the car. I'm going to sit in the car, and I'm going to wait till my daughter comes and gets me, and we'll leave. Please don't hold my business against my daughter." And he said, "No, we're getting married in 30 minutes. She's in the bedroom calling all the kids to come over. And some friends that aren't here, they're coming over. We're getting married in just a few minutes." Man, my head is swimming. And what do you do with that? I mean, we didn't have a marriage license. You know, we hadn't gone through all the planning and talking and counseling and all that stuff, but I mean, they were 50 years old. They had 3 kids and they knew what life was about, but they didn't have an anniversary of their own. And they wanted to share with family and friends that they loved one another. How do you say no to that? So I said, "Well, Keith, all right. I need to go quickly and figure out what I'm going to say when y'all come over here and stand with each other." And so in about 30 minutes' time, they had found a Bible somewhere under something. I dusted it off and got it clean enough so I could find 1 Corinthians 13. And they came in and we did the wedding. And I said, "Keith, do you take your wife to be your wife?" He said, she's already my wife. I said, but do you take her? He said, yeah, of course I do. And I looked at her. I said, do you? She said, I've already done that part. Do you have anything you want to say to each other? And he said, I love you. You know I love you. And I'm glad that we're together. And Irene, his wife, says, I've always wanted a day we could call our own, and now we have it. Thank you for loving me. And I said, by a higher calling to the gospel ministry granted to us through Jesus the Christ, it is my privilege and my honor to pronounce you husband and wife. And then they held hands and I held their hands and we prayed over their love for each other. Oh my gosh. It's one of the most amazing nights I've ever experienced. Got home. I was on cloud 900. I told Gail all about it, and Gail goes, well, they're not married. What? They're not married? You don't have a marriage license? They don't have anything legal? They're not married? I said, let me tell you one thing. They are married. I guess you just had to be there. But it was an amazing, amazing night when amid all the revelry and the rabble-rousing and the partying, everything got quiet when the love of Jesus came into the room. I don't know if they're married or not. But they're still together. And they love me. Thanks be to God.